You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Kai Wright, host of United States of Anxiety from WNYC. I'm in for Tanzina Vega until she's back later this week. Good to be with you. This morning, the Oscar nominations were announced, and some of them were particularly notable. The late, great Chadwick Boseman was nominated for Best Actor for his final performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Nomadland director Chloe Zhao became the first Asian woman, and first woman of color, period, if you can believe that, ever to be nominated for Best Director. And Promising Young Woman's Emerald Fennell was also nominated for Best Director, making this the first time that two women will ever compete in the same year in that category. Also, the movie Minari, directed by Lee Isaac Chung, received a bevy of nominations, including for Best Picture, Best Screenplay, and Best Director. It's a long list. The film follows a Korean family who moved from California to Arkansas, where the father, played by Steven Yeun, struggles to fulfill his dream of starting a farm. Yeun and Yoo Yoo Jung, who plays his character's mother-in-law, were both nominated for their performances as well, but their nominations stand in contrast to a long history of Asian and Asian American actors getting overlooked for awards in the U.S., even when the films they star in get recognition in more technical categories. Shirley Lee is a staff writer covering culture for The Atlantic, and she explored this trend in a recent piece. Shirley, thanks for being here.
Hi, Kai. Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Charles Yu, author of Interior Chinatown and a television writer for shows including Westworld and Legion. Charles, great to have you as well.
Thank you, Kai. Great to be here.
So Shirley, before we get into some of the bigger issues you raised in your piece, let's talk about these nominations Minari received this morning. Did any of them come as a surprise to you?
No, I'm just thrilled that Steven Yeun and Yoon Yoo-jun have been nominated. I think those two were the front runners out of the cast. I was a little disappointed that Yeri Han didn't get anything, but I'm just thrilled.
All right. And you mentioned Yeri Han. She plays the mother Monica in Minari. You've written that she hasn't gotten as much recognition as some other co-stars. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'm going to toss this one over to the writer-director, Lee Isaac Chung, who I interviewed for this piece. He talked about her performance being relatively invisible. And I think part of the invisibility comes from the way that her character is so nuanced and doesn't quite fit into a prescribed box or a trope that Hollywood tends to prefer when rewarding, even rarely, Asian actors and Asian performances. She plays the mother of the family, and she is playing a relatively quiet role, but she's also the kind of character who is trying very hard not to express her hurt and her anxiety and her pain. And often when we talk about these award-winning roles or award-worthy performances, we think about those outsized dramatic performances, right? And she's very careful not to show any emotion. Mm-hmm. And yet her performance is all about that anxiety. It is humming with it. And so it is a really raw, real performance, but it is hard to understand.
She kind of stole the show for me, I'll be honest. Charles, what about those boxes that Shirley's talking about? Hollywood likes to put people in these boxes that they can understand. Do you think any of the Minari characters fit neatly into this sort of boxes that non-Asian viewers like to put people in?
Yeah, okay. I thought Shirley's piece really nailed it for me on a number of points, and that was really such an insight for me. What you said about, you know, it's almost like her performance is designed to be overlooked. That is the point of it. And she's not doing things that are flashy. But for me, watching her and watching Steven Yeun's performance, they both, it was almost like they had an emotional vocabulary that I understood intuitively, you know, just watching it. And maybe it takes, you know, sort of people time to realize when you're watching a performance like this, or the performer as an individual, to sort of learn that vocabulary, not in that didactic sense, but in the sense of, oh, this is what this person is embodying, you know. So I know a certain pattern of gestures, or I know, you know, what acting is, you know, looks like, but this is, you know, something else that's going on here, still acting, of course, but you know, maybe a style or with moves that we haven't necessarily seen before.
What about Yoo Jung-yoon? What do you guys think about her performance? What do you think stood out for her?
Oh, I absolutely. Surely. Yeah, I absolutely adored her performance. For her, I also spoke with her for the piece. She, you know, she is considered one of the greatest actors in South Korea. And so for her, even speaking of American awards, she didn't really know what they meant. But her performance also comes from a deeply personal space. She told me that she had thought about her own interactions with her great-grandmother in order to live inside her character's head. You know, her grandmother is not the typical American grandmother, which is what the little boy in the film thinks that his grandmother is going to be. She's witty. She's acerbic. You know, she doesn't punish him for the pranks he pulls. She's always encouraging him to, you know, to run, to do things that he's been told that he cannot do. And there's this humanity to her performance that also comes, as I said, from her own history, from her own experiences. And often, I touch on this in the piece, often these performances get confused for recordings when they are still performances in and of themselves. So for me, her performance stood out because you could easily see her as the comic relief of the film. You know, she is funny. Her character is funny. And Yujin was telling me that after screenings, people would tell her, "You're so funny." But there's a heart and a humanity to this role that goes deeper than just saying some funny lines. It's just easy to call her funny.
And Charles, let's talk for a second about the Golden Globes, because they have gotten a lot of criticism the past 2 years for nominating Minari and then the Farewell, both in the Best Foreign Language Film category, although both films were made by Asian American directors. What do you think that tells us about how films made by Asian Americans are viewed by people who are not Asian?
Well, it's a good question, Kai. I mean, on the one hand, it has sort of a perpetuating effect to continue this idea of, you know, here are stories that are interesting, but they belong in this category. They don't belong in sort of the mainstream category. On the other hand, you know, I think it's worth noting that we're talking about it, you know, and it was a controversy for a reason, which I think is that people recognized that this is an issue. You know, I think it's also worth noting that there's been a lot of progress. I mean, the film Minari got made, you know, with Plan B and A24. You know, it's not as if the doors were completely closed. It got all the way to the point where people could have a controversy. So not to sort of settle for anything, but I think it's, you know, an ongoing conversation, which gives me some hope.
Right. Shirley, in your article about Asian American actors being overlooked, you have a long list of films that were nominated for Oscars in certain categories, but not for acting. What are some of the most notable examples to you?
Oh man, there are so many. you know, you have, just looking at Best Picture winners in the past, Slumdog Millionaire, The Last Emperor, which is about the last emperor of China. These were films that were nominated across the board for many, many categories, but none for acting. Last year's Parasite fits in this category, Life of Pi, Memoirs of a Geisha. And I think I wrote this piece because when I had talked to another film, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, when I talked to the actor Michelle Yeoh, she was telling me that it did hurt, you know, for her acting and her peers acting, you know, in the film not to be considered, even though the movie was nominated and up for all these other things, including Best Picture and Best Director. So, yeah, there are many, many films that fall under this category. And, you know, Charles makes a great point. There is, you know, there's reason for hope, but it is unfortunate to be in this place where every quote-unquote win or step forward for the community, it also comes with a certain feeling of a bummer, I think, as Steven Yeun had put it a while back. Just this feeling that, oh, it took this long. But yeah, that's the That's the unfortunate side of all this.
Yeah. You've also written that you feel like when Asian actors are nominated, it's when they've got a white savior character alongside them. What do you mean by that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this goes into what one of the academics I spoke to called the, quote, veneer of authenticity that's placed on films about Asian characters. There's a tendency to see them fitting in certain tropes and only rewarding them when they act out certain tropes, which is something that I believe, you know, Charles's book goes into as well. So when I write about this, I'm looking at the way that some Asian performers, when they've been nominated for Oscars in the past, they've only been nominated for fitting inside these boxes that we've been talking about. So for instance, Dev Patel, he wasn't nominated for Slumdog Millionaire, where he plays the hero. The film also has a lot of Bollywood influences. He's not nominated for that performance. However, he's nominated for playing an Australian Indian adoptee in the film Lion, which, mm-hmm. you know, some critics saw as a white savior tale, as you mm-hmm. said. He's not the hero here. He's the one who's being saved by a white family.
Yeah. Charles Shirley mentioned your book, Interior Chinatown, where you talk about some of this pigeonholing. And you feel like there's been some progress, you were saying before the break. Has there been progress in sort of moving away from these kinds of roles in recent years, you think?
I think there's been some. I mean, I think we're already seeing it, and it's exciting to see Asians and Asian Americans both, you know, behind and in front of the camera, not just stuck in sort of what were traditionally, you know, the few roles that were allowed for Asians on screen. I think we're somewhere between, like, if the door was closed before, and you know, for like a white star, it'd be like the door's open and here's your chair. You know, we're somewhere like the door's open, but bring your own chair. You know, like we're not going to seat you, but come on in.
Well, maybe we got a better chair anyway. What do you think about these awards in general, Charles? I mean, does this matter? Shirley was saying that she talked to Michelle Yeoh from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She felt like she was hurt by not being nominated. What do you think? Do these words really matter?
I think they do. I mean, I think they certainly matter to the individuals, and that's important to remember that for each, you know, performance, that's not in a vacuum, as Shirley was pointing out, and there are cultural and other sort of factors going into it. But I think they also matter, you know, to people watching, you know, both Asian American or non-Asian American, in terms of a sort of level of acceptance or a validation. So to me, they matter a great deal. Sorry, I don't know if that was for Shirley or for me, but
it was for you. But Shirley, you can answer too. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think it's really easy to look down on awards and say, oh, they're, you know, the categorization, there are controversies everywhere. But on an individual level, they do matter. And for the average theater goer or movie goer, I think they, you know, I mean, marketing tends to use nominations and awards as part of a movie's appeal. And I think this just means a greater reach for films like Minari.
Right. We got about a minute left. Thinking about representation in this moment, you know, it is a time when we're talking about violence against Asian Americans spiking. How do you think these kinds of portrayals matter to the broader culture in that way? Let's start with you, Charles.
Yeah, I mean, I think they really help to normalize, you know, Asian faces on screen, you know, in stories that have to do with a whole range of things, not just sort of cultural heritage stories. So I think they go a long way to, you know, sort of getting into people's psyches that these are American stories.
Right. Shirley, in 10 seconds, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think the real world and Hollywood, you can't really separate them on this level. Stereotypes that are perpetuated on screen are perpetuated in real life. And so to be able to see these stories normalized, as Charles said, it's important.
Shirley Lee is a staff writer covering culture for The Atlantic, and Charles Yu is the author of Interior Chinatown and a television writer for shows including Westworld and Legion. Great talking to both of you.
Thank you, Kai.
Thank you, Kai.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.